Good morning. Merry Christmas and springtime. It's good to see all of you here this morning. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house. He provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. I want you to listen to this fictional Christmas correspondence between Martha Stewart and Irma Bombeck, and see if it reminds us that Christmas is not always picture perfect. This is the letter from Martha. Hi, Irma. This perfectly delightful note is being sent on paper I made myself to tell you what I've been doing. Since it snowed last night, I arose early this morning and crafted a sled with old barn wood and my glue gun. I hand-painted it in gold leaf. Then I used my loom to make a blanket in peach and mauve colors. Now it is time to start making placemats and napkins for my 20 breakfast guests. I'm serving the old standard Martha Stewart 12-course breakfast. I didn't have time to make the tables and chairs this morning, so I used the old ones I already had. I did take time to make the dishes we're going to use for breakfast from Hungarian clay, which I'm sure you can get from any Hungarian craft shop. Well, I must run. I need to finish the buttonholes on the dress I'm wearing for breakfast. I'll get out the sled, hitch the horses, and drive this note to the post office as soon as the glue dries on the envelope I'm making. Love, Martha. This is the response from Irma Bombeck. Dear Martha, I'm writing this note on an old grocery list. Please ignore the jelly and coffee stains. I'm 20 minutes late getting my daughter up to go to school, packing a lunch with one hand and on the phone with the pound. It seems old Spot needs bailing out again. I burnt my arm on the curling iron when I was trying to make those cute curly fries. I still can't find the scissors to cut out some snowflakes, so I tried using an old disposable razor, and I really trashed the tablecloth. I tried that cranberry thing, but the frozen cranberries mushed up after I defrosted them in the microwave. And don't use Fruity Pebbles as a substitute in the Rice Krispie Snowball recipe unless you happen to like a disgusting shade of green. Well, the smoke alarm is going off. I'll talk to you later. Love, Irma. Do you know anyone who experiences the Martha Stewart picture-perfect Christmas? Well, neither do I. The reality is kids get sick, people lose their jobs, and people even die during the Christmas season. Trouble does not take a holiday. And this fact should not surprise us because even the first Christmas was not picture perfect. In the midst of all the miracles and joy, there was a lot of hassle and a lot of hurting. I want us to look at our text for today. It's found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23, and it tells us the hassles and the hurting and the hope of Christmas. Please follow along in your Bibles as I read from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He was to be called a Nazarene. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Christmas can be full of hassles. Many people complain about the hassles of Christmas. Many of us do. Too much time shopping, too much time decorating the house. Christmas costs too much. It causes us too much stress to complete everything we need to do. Well, don't throw a pity party for yourself. Don't feel sorry for yourself. It was a hassle for Joseph and Mary also. The first hassle was Mary's pregnancy. She and Joseph were betrothed, but they were not officially married. And of course, Joseph, as we know, was ready to call the whole thing off when an angel appeared to him and explained the situation. But imagine the hassle that Mary endured as an unwed mother, planning a wedding, hearing people whisper as she walked by, knowing that they were gossiping and guessing who was the father, how had this happened, who was her parents. Why hadn't they looked after her better? Yet the hassles of Mary and Joseph were just beginning. Because not long after their marriage, the emperor required every male Israelite to return to his birthplace and pay a new tax. Now here was Joseph's bride ready to give birth, and now this extra expense and this trip arise unexpectedly. Somehow Joseph scrounges up the money, obviously, because he begins making the trip. He and Mary travel to Bethlehem, where they meet another hassle. No rooms. No room at the inn. The only accommodations he could find was a stable. In that dirty stable, without a doctor, without a nurse, without an epidural, Mary gives birth, and everything is fine for a while. However, after Jesus is born, an angel instructs Joseph to take his family to Egypt because King Herod desires to kill the baby. Without complaining, Joseph packs up his family and heads for Egypt. It's obvious that he secured a job, he made a living to support his family, and he sets up housekeeping. But over and over, Joseph and Mary endure hassle after hassle for the sake of the baby. But I want us to notice something. During all these hassles, God provides help for each and every one of them. Somehow, he had the angel appear to Mary and Joseph and explain to him what he, God, was doing. and what was expected of them. Somehow, Joseph is able to secure funds to make the trip to Bethlehem. And God reserves a stable to be the birthplace of his son. He sends the wise men, and I'm sure their gifts were used to finance the trip to Egypt. Over and over and over, this story reminds us that God will provide help for us to deal with the hassles. He will not always smooth out every pothole in the road, but however, he will give us the grace to continue going. He will protect us, and he will guide us. So if you are struggling with some Christmas hassles, why not turn them to God? Why not turn to him for help? Not only can Christmas be full of hassles, we know that Christmas can be full of hurt. Pain does not take a holiday, and Christmas is a very painful time for many. Sometimes it's grief for a loved one who is passed. Sometimes it's living in a sick or handicapped body. The single person or the divorcee dreads spending another lonely Christmas wondering why. Families of military men and women miss loved ones at Christmas more than any other time. The truth is, Christmas has been full of hurt ever since Jesus was born. And the pain in this biblical story comes after Joseph and Mary leave Bethlehem for Egypt. As we read, Herod realizes the wise men have tricked him as to the whereabouts of Jesus. And as Jimmy told us this morning, Herod orders his troops to go to the little town of Bethlehem and kill every male child 2 years and younger. And these innocent children are slaughtered like lambs, and horrified parents are left holding their bodies, crying and asking why. Nobody even tells the parents while their little ones are killed. We know why. Herod feared this baby, this new king. He was jealous of him, and he wanted to make sure he didn't grow up and become a king and rule the nation. He was mad because he had been tricked by the wise men. Lord, why didn't you send an angel to warn these parents? Lord, why didn't you strike Herod down before he could do such a horrible thing? Lord, why do you allow pain and suffering and death during the time of the birth of your son? Lord, why did you take my loved one away? Father, why must I suffer through another Christmas alone? Oh God, why did you leave me here hurting and hopeless and helpless in this sick body? Lord, why must I hurt so much at Christmas? We don't know the answer to these questions. What we do know is God makes a promise to all of us who are in pain that he will be present with us. We read in Psalms 34, 18 through 19, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." Where were you, Lord, when I am hurting? I'm here, my precious child. Lord, why do you allow me to hurt so much? My child, you could not understand if I told you. But I promise you that if you'll trust me, you will never suffer alone. When I do not stop the pain, I will be there to hold you. I will always comfort you, and I shall be there to help you keep going until I take the pain away. Christmas cannot and does not promise no hassles or no hurting. So what does Christmas offer to hassled and hurting people? It offers us hope. You know, there are plenty of people who live days and months and years without hope. People live decades bearing the heavy burden of shame and guilt from wrong decisions they have made, with no hope of forgiveness, no hope of peace. People can spend all their lives searching for meaning, for purpose and direction, and people can and do die with absolutely no hope of living again after they take their last breath on earth. But nobody needs to live without hope. The baby who was born in the manger in Bethlehem and snatched from the jaws of Herod offers us hope beyond our wildest dreams. Because he lives, you and I have hope this very day. Verse 19 of our text states that the baby outlived the wicked king Herod, who tried to kill him. History tells us that Herod's kingdom was divided among his heirs, and an angel announces to Joseph that it is now safe to return to Israel. So again, the little family packs up and hits the road. But Joseph is a little uneasy about returning to Bethlehem under the reign of Herod's son, Archelaus. Archelaus was as bloodthirsty as his father. The first act, or one of the first acts he did when he took over as king, was he had 3,000 good men, leading men of Israel, slaughtered. So after being warned in a dream, Joseph takes his family to Nazareth, where Jesus spends his formative years waiting for the day he will fulfill his mission. Jesus did not die in Bethlehem as a baby because his time had not yet come. It would not come until many years later when he would willfully and purposely give his life on the cross to offer us hope. The cross brings hope to the hassled, hurting people who need the hope of knowing that God cares for them. And this is a message that we need to share with others. It's the hope that God can help them start all over again, can erase their past and give them eternal life. And we know that's true. Those of us who believe, those of us who have faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we need to get this message out to everyone, not just during the month of December, but all year round, from January 1 to December 31. And that's why you and I celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the hope that God gives us through his Son. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and hope for eternity. God does not offer us a hassle-free and hurt-free life, but he offers us a hope-filled life through our faith in Jesus. So I ask you, what hopes lie sleeping in your heart this morning? Jesus Christ, the baby born in Bethlehem, the boy who lived in Nazareth, and the man who died on the cross, offers us hope in spite of all of our hassles, in the midst of all of our hurting. In Jesus, Christmas offers us hope. So this morning, Jesus invites you to come to him and hope again. Hope in spite of all the hassles. Hope beyond all the hurting. Hope you can find right now by bowing at Jesus' feet, believing in his word, and accepting his love. No, I doubt any of us will have a picture-perfect Christmas, but we can have joy in our life, and we can know that there is hope And we invite you to come as we sing our invitation hymn, number 64, God Will Take Care of You.